All right, my friends, welcome back. The third apparition of Our Lady to Sister Lucia. So Sister Lucia is unsure, or Lucia, I see just Lucia, so I don't think she's sister just yet.
Right.
1927, she's unsure about how much of the three secrets she should reveal, if any. And she didn't want to make it known, going contrary to Our Lady's directive not to reveal them. So Sister Lucia writes, Jesus made her hear very distinctly these words, My daughter, write what they ask of you. Write all that the Most Holy Virgin revealed to you in the July 13th apparition, in which she spoke of devotion. As for the remainder of the secret, continue to keep silence. So Lucia was permitted to reveal the first and second secrets, but not the third. Revelations at Tui, Spain. Two conditions to avoid wars, persecution of the church, and spread of communism. May 29th, 1930, Sister Lucia receives further understanding of the first five Saturdays and the laity, right? So there's that laity. So there's the part for the hierarchical church, the consecration of Russia. There's the part for the laity with the first Saturdays and rosary every day.
Mm-hmm.
June 13th, so here's our last vision of Fatima. Our Lady appeared to Sister Lucia, and she repeated her request for the consecration of Russia, a papal act, to her Immaculate Heart, as she had requested during her third apparition on July 13, 1917. So 12 years later, she's coming back to this. Sister Lucia saw a magnificent vision of the Most Holy Trinity and Our Blessed Lady. Our Lady said, The moment has come in which God asks the Holy Father, in union with all the bishops of the world, to make the consecration of my Immaculate Heart, promising to save it by this means. There are so many souls whom the justice of God condemns for sins committed against me, that I have come to ask reparation. Sacrifice yourself for this intention and pray. In 1941, in her memoirs, at the request of the Bishop of Liria, to assist with a book on Jacinta, Sister Lucia reveals the first and second secret. She does not reveal the third secret, as it was not time. Sister Lucia wrote the third secret down, but it was in an envelope labeled to be read in 1960 or after her death, whichever came first. Here, disgrace, that's my opinion, disgrace Cardinal Angelo Soldano announces the release of the third secret, and he gave his an interpretation. And the Vatican published the third secret in June 26 of 2000. Lucia dies February 15, 2005, 97 at Coimbra, Portugal.
Yeah, there's a conundrum there. That's all there. That's really what it comes down to.
There is. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart will be hastened by two things. God wins, but not without our free will and consent, which is evidenced by our actions. Fides, faith, is buttressed by reason, which is informed by truth. So, like I said before, the hierarchical, and I should say papal, consecration of Russia, and the laity's first Saturdays and daily rosary with a view towards reparation. Let's see, I have, there's an addendum with all the prayers here. They're going to be readily accessible. For people to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for our part, I think the grace is that there is something concrete you can do. These are not, you know, mystical apparitions in the sense that, oh, you know, it's just, it's not tangible. You can go to Matt, well, sorry. In any normal temporal setting, right? We're permitted to go to Mass, right? We're permitted to go to Mass, but you can pray the Rosary. You know that. You know, if you have 10 fingers, you can pray the Rosary. There's no way that you can be prevented from doing that. Praying the Rosary every single day is a real tangible thing that you can do, and you can certainly make acts of reparation. But I think before you do that, you know, you must. We each individual person must come to an awareness that hell is not a figment of our imaginations.
That's right.
Why would Our Lady, of all things, why would she show such a viscerally terrifying vision to little children if she did not have good cause to do so?
Correct. That is correct. That is correct. And I see reincarnation is making the rounds again in people's consciousness.
Sure.
Because
it's easier to think of that, isn't it?
It is. Oh, well, I'll just do it again. I'll just get another chance.
We love second chances.
We do love second chances. And it will always come down to a toleration of evil and simple behavior. When you, I know there, you can point to some good people, you know, they believe in that. And I will always say, if you look deep enough, if you go further enough, there is an excuse for sin. There's excuse for sin.
Sure.
And wicked, evil behavior. Somewhere.
Well, I mean, I think anybody who really does an honest, sincere approach of reason toward reincarnation will recognize that human nature is never going to be able to perfect itself.
No, it's not. It's not.
I mean, if you ever just examine yourself at all, like, I mean, as St. Paul says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is very weak. Of course we want to, right? I mean, all of us want to be good, holy, loving, beautiful people. I mean, is there anybody who really wakes up and thinks that they, well, I mean, maybe there are, but those are the truly vicious, right? I mean, the ones who want to be evil, who want to be terrible. I mean, but for the most part, the vast majority of self-recollected people hope to be good. They believe that they want to be, and yet they make bad decisions. And to you know, God's justice is perfect. It can't be mocked. And there's a scene in Dante's Hell, like when he's traveling with Virgil, where, you know, at the very beginning when he's there and he sees these people in hell, and it goes actually to your line with Sister Lucia's, you know, frustration with Francesco being taken advantage of, right? But, you know, he sees these people in hell and he feels pity for them. You know, he can't separate himself from his emotional human reaction to seeing somebody suffering, and so he pities them until he gets far enough down into hell when he realizes how corrupted these people are and recognizes that the punishment that they are receiving is perfectly just, and then he longs for the punishment to be meted out. And it's at that moment that Virgil says to him, ah, you know, and he hugs him and he says, now you see, right? Because there is no sorrow in heaven over the people who are being justly punished in hell. It's perfectly merited. And so there's sorrow for us on earth, right? Because on earth, we still have a chance to avoid that, right? There's a really great element of that within our lives, that by our own suffering, by taking on whatever is lacking in other people's lives, by making reparations, by doing these prayers, our Lord is permitting us a share in his salvific history, right? We can change the outcome of the eternal lives of certain people through our prayers, through our reparation, through our love of the Immaculate Heart, through our reciting of the Rosary for reparation. Our Lord lets us. I mean, it's like the Blessed Mother, right? When she's at the wedding. And she says, Lord, they have, you know, my son, they have no wine. And he says, what's this between you and me, right? He changes time for her. It's not my time yet, Mother, right? What a gracious God that he allows us, those who know, to be able to share in this. And yeah, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, but at some point there has to be a tangible recognition that by these simple actions, we make a difference.
We absolutely make a difference. And that is a good place to end. Because in the end, her immaculate heart will triumph. But it will be with our free will and, you know, even over those who do not consent. But we bring it about quicker and more efficacious when we, when we do
we
our
assent.
When we accept. Yeah. All right, my friends. We will see you the next time. Till then, fides adratio.